the tribe of Reuben. Your Polish background would give you the tribe of Dan. You remember that Lech Walesa a few years ago, the Polish Solidarity leader, was from Danzig, Poland. The tribe of Dan, wherever they went, they put their name Dan. Danzig, Poland, Denmark. And so you're the tribe of Polish, and you said French too?
Well, Alsatian, which is German French.
Okay, well, the German, you would have the blood of Judah in your veins, and from French, you would have some of the blood of Zebulun. Now, I don't know, I can't tell you unless you got a blessing, like you would, you take some colors, and you mix, let me think, I don't know, I have to go back. What happens if you mix red... I guess you mix red and white together, you get pink, and you put some blue in, and you get purple. And what is it? How do you get green? You mix yellow and blue, right? You mix yellow and blue, you get green. And so just as you would mix colors to get another color of the blood, of the genes, genealogy, of the genes that flow in your veins, if you had a blessing, you one house, one would predominate or one would have precedence. And so I don't know which one of the tribes you are looking at you. That'd have to come by revelation.
How do you make this thing work?
Yell loud.
Push up on them. That's it.
Wally doesn't have to worry.
Pardon? Okay, upon the desolate, let's see here, he says, to take a spoil, to turn thy hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, a people that are gathered out of the nations, and I've just explained you're all from different nations probably, that have gotten cattle and goods. Now Russia is going to attack the United States to get cattle. Here he says, to get cattle and goods. You know, there are 110 million cattle in the United States. There are 98 million in Russia, the Soviet Union today. Go to the almanac. 110 million in the United States, 98 million in Russia. Do you know how many are in the little land of Palestine, as big as Kern County or as big as the state of New Jersey? Only 325,000. See, Russia is not going to attack to go get cattle down in the land of Palestine. They're not going to attack them to get 325,000 cattle. In fact, Cuba has 11 million cattle, and they're already allied with Russia. So they could just ask the Cubans for a few million. You see, they're not going to attack Palestine for 325,000. But you'll get Christian denominational ministers, all they know is that the name Israel in the Bible means Palestine. That's what they think. They're full of hooey. Israel is us. Right here, in plain sight. Cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. To carry, let's see, here it says art, and I'll go on down, 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 down. To carry away silver and gold, to carry away cattle and goods. The total amount of gold in the world is about 952 million ounces. Almost a billion ounces in the world. Of the total gold in the world, almost a billion ounces, the United States has 252 million. Almost a quarter of the gold in the world is here in the United States. You know how much gold's in the little land of Palestine? Not enough to put in the trunk of your car. See, they're not going down to Palestine to get cattle and goods and gold and silver. They're coming to the United States, to Israel. 2,000, from Genesis to Revelation, 2,574 times, or 72 times. Yeah, 2,574.
If they do attack, the cows are not going to have any protection. Aren't they going to be just completely fried?
Yeah, millions of them will. Millions of
cows.
Really?
Millions will. Yes. Listen to this. Verse 15. Listen to this. Verse 15. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses. The word horse is perish, like parachutes. Yeah. Riding upon horses, a great company, a mighty army, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, G-O-G, Gog, the chief prince of Meshach. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in the old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days that many years I would bring thee against them. Many years future. See, these guys saw this 2,500 years ago. And he goes on. Now, are we going to shoot back at Moscow? Are we going to get any missiles off? The 39th chapter of Ezekiel. He says, I will turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee. So right today, Russia's army is about 5 million men. So, when they attack, and this is interesting, just a year ago, why would they do this with the end of the Cold War and us shutting down our military, and Bush 2 years ago shut down our SAC bases and got rid of all of our Strategic Air Command? You remember that a couple of years ago? Why would Russia, for the first time, institute a draft? A couple of years ago, Russia instituted a draft, so now they can draft 5 million men on a moment's notice, just like we used to have a draft, but we don't have one anymore. Why, with the end of the Cold War, would they want a draft? They just, the first time in history, since 1917, the Communist Revolution, 2 years ago, they instituted a draft. Now they can double their army from 5 million men to 10 million men. And he says, I will leave but a sixth part of thee. So that means there will only be, out of 10 million Russians that invade us, there will only be maybe a million, million and a half will escape. The rest of them are going to die. In fact, he says here, another place in the scriptures, he says, it'll be so bad that the house of Israel shall sever out men of continual employment, and they shall spend 7 months cleansing the land. 7 months it'll take us to pick up all the bodies of the dead people. But here, I will leave a sixth part of thee, and I will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and I will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and I will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. And thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands and the people that are with thee. And I will send fire on Magog. Now here we are going to shoot back. Our missiles, our atomic submarines, the Trident, and our other submarines will shoot back, and 40, 50, 80 million Russians will die. And I will send fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, England, Ireland, the tribe of Benjamin, and Iceland, and all the other isles, Tahiti, Pearl Harbor, the Hawaiian Isles, then that dwell carelessly in the isle, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. and the heathen, here's the heathen again, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. How many million people will die around Christmas time? Millions and millions. Zephaniah. It's me. I dropped it. Let me get it up here. Zephaniah says, chapter 1, verses 14, 15, 17, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near. It hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. It is a day of wrath. Now, visualize what all you know of nuclear explosions. It is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring distress upon men. They shall walk like blind men because they have sinned, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Now I'll tell you, when the bomb hits Bakersfield, 40 miles away, don't look at the flash, because it says here, they shall walk like blind men. People 30, 40 miles away will be blinded if they look at the fireball. You could go out here and lay down and look at the sun, lay there with your eyes open and keep looking at the sun all day long, and not get up blind. It would burn your retina. Your pupils would dilate and get smaller and smaller and smaller.
But our people have goggles.
Okay, well, don't look at the fireball when it happens, when it goes off, because it will blind people. And their blood shall be poured out as dust. How? Because, 11 million degrees will make everything, your blood, your bones, everything. An editor published an article that's been 10 years ago now in the newspaper in Orem Valley in Utah, where I told him about seeing a vision that I had. You've cooked Johnsonville brats on your grill or hot dogs on your grill in the summertime, and you've seen them swell up and get juicy and fat, and then they pop. Or maybe you can put them in your microwave and see them do the same thing. They swell up and they get hot and finally they burst. I've seen people swell up and pop and the flesh peeled off of their body before their skeletons could fall to the ground. I've seen the absolute naked, bare bones skeleton standing there. The fire come and hit them and everything, they swell up and pop. And their flesh is gone before the bones can fall to the ground. Now, you know how bad that is? Think about the 3 and 5 and 7 and 10-year-old kids that are depending upon mom and dad. That's a shame, isn't it? Isn't that innocent blood? People don't want to believe me.
Did you say that the Bakersfield wouldn't be hit on the first run of that?
No, it'll...
A mine or so will be hit later?
Yeah, you'll probably have a few days before Bakersfield is hit. You'll know. Mark 13, when shall these things be?
Don't concern too much about Edwards.
Edwards is east of you. Don't worry about it at all. And they asked the Lord in Mark 13, they said, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And boy, I'll tell you, that's a true statement, because I've been hated and persecuted, had my first wife talked away into leaving me, had our pets poisoned right in our yard, go out with 3 cars. You got a whole bunch of cars in the parking lot. We had 3 cars parked in front of our house. Go out and find them with 12 flat tires in the morning. Go out and find that somebody, probably teenage boys, because I can't imagine a girl or a woman doing this, somebody got up and dunged did their bowel movement right on the hood of your car, wiped the bum, and put the paper under the windshield wipers for you. Real nice. Makes me glad I live in a good Mormon community. Boy, what if I lived out in the world? You see? And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination, what is abomination? A-bomb-a-nation. When ye shall see the abomination of desolation standing where it ought not, pray that your flight be not in the winter. Winter. Just like I was told on the 27th of June. This winter. Pray that your flight be not in winter, for in those days there shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation. Can you imagine all Mount Pinatubo, all the wars that have ever existed? There's never been desolation or tribulation like it's going to be. Survival information, $6. Is that worth the price of a lunch or a movie? Or, and I would advise this to each of you, spend the $12 and get the book Prophecy Today that has got some other absolute revelations that will astound you, things concerning keys to the priesthood, about the Negroes and the priesthood and what's going to happen, about plural marriage or polygamy. And I told you, God was a polygamist. Joseph Smith, the prophet that restored this book, this was restored in 1830, the Book of Mormon, and he told 1830, that's 150, 60 some years ago now, and he talked about this great and spacious building, but a prophecy goes back 2,500 years for a lot of people that don't even believe in the Book of Mormon. And here the Mormons, they're fulfilling it. You see, Joseph Smith was a polygamist. Yeah, you're remember the Gideons? Have you heard of the Gideon Bible in motel rooms? Let me show you something here. Boy, let me think. We're Gideon.
While he's looking, I wouldn't suggest all of you start running out there being polygamists this afternoon. There are also some other commandments. And when we start bringing God into the man, we have to be very careful.
Yeah, here I found it now. Judges, in the 12th chapter of Judges, you've heard about Gideon. And this is about Ibazan, and let's see, and he had 30 sons and 30 daughters, and he sent them abroad, and he took in 30 daughters. And the Gideon says that he had 70 sons. Now, how could he have 70 sons? I can tell you this, polygamy is not a fun thing to do. I'm a polygamist. And if you've got two wives, you don't have twice the problems. You got four times the problems. If you have three wives, you don't have three times the problems. You have nine times the problems. If you have five wives, you don't have five times the problems. You have 25 times the problems.
Times 25.
Because it compounds itself. It is tough. It is tough. Now, I'll take some questions. I could go on and talk about Joel and Daniel. And you mentioned earlier, I think in your reading, you were talking about G7. Daniel talks about the seven. And so Daniel and Hosea and Joel. Oh, I should tell you what Hosea says. Hosea, let me read you one other verse that'll be astounding. Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea. You all know who the children of Israel are, the 12 tribes, their descendants, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, because all of you have heard, you're not my people, the Jews are my people. Isn't that what you've all heard? The Jews. In the place where it is said, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. And that's what I'm telling you right now. You are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah, which are the Jews, and the children of Israel be gathered together and shall appoint unto themselves one head.
I have a question. Your 1982 scenario booklet that you did for 82.
Right.
Are you saying that that would be the same for this winter? Be similar to that?
That's what's going to happen. I noticed I put on that 1982 scenario, I said, and I can't remember exactly, but I said, let me think. This report's a result of dreams and visions. Mm-hmm. Some things are fiction, mostly the dates. Because I didn't know exactly what date or when it was.
At that time you thought it was coming in 82.
Yeah. And boy, let me tell you, I'd rather be ahead than behind. I'd rather be ready and prepared, no ahead than 1 minute late. Boy, when you get to the runway and the plane has just lifted off, the wheels are being pulled up, you're too late. It's over with. You got to be on that flight.
So there are just a few things. First, you mentioned Wormwood. And I believe in the reading that has something to do with the woodpecker beans or false beans that are used against us. Is that correct, or am I wrong?
I don't know. I just know that the Russian name, to say wormwood in Russian, is Chernobyl. That's doctor, and I did not know that. I went to BYU, and Dr. Thomas Rogers, who's a professor of Russian languages, told me that.
You said the tribe of Judah, and I believe this was used in context with Master Jesus using that name, where we have, or at least I have learned that the name Jew came from Judea, which is a geographical location.
That's correct. The first time the name Jew is used in the Bible, it's 1 Kings, I think it's 1 Kings 16. Let me turn to it.
Well, then, while you're looking, we had heard that the first use of the word Jew was in the 1750s or the 17th century, when it was used in writing by Spencer or something like that. I can't find
it. Here, 2 Kings 16. At that time came Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath from Syria, and drave the Jews from Elath. That's the first time the word Jews is used in the Bible. He's speaking of the Jews as a people, as an ethnic group. Now you have to realize that being an ethnic group of Jews, there are a lot of connotations. There are people that are Jews today, that are practicing Jews, that do have the blood of Judah in their veins, some of them. There are a lot of them that are Jews today that have no relationship at all to the blood of the tribes of Israel or the blood of Judah. They claim to be Ashkenazi Jews. And in the 10th chapter of Genesis, it tells you that the sons of Noah came through the flood. Do you remember that? They were who? Shem, Japheth, and Ham. Now these are the sons, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth were Gomer and Magog, and Midian, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshach, and Tyrus. And the sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz. Now these, you see, Gomer was the son of Japheth, and Ashkenaz was the son of Gomer. So the Ashkenaz Jews, they're not even Shemites. They're of Japheth. They cannot be Israelites. You remember Jesus said to the Jews that killed him and persecuted him, he said, if you were Abraham's seed, you would do the works of Abraham, but you're not. You're of your father, the devil. Do you recall that in the New Testament? Well, let me give you some advice. Read the New Testament. It only takes 10 hours. From Matthew 1:1 to the end of generation. You can read an hour a day for 10 days, or you can read it in 2 days for 5 hours a day, but it only takes you 10 hours to read the entire New Testament. Read it. Boy, you'll learn a lot. Yes?
Jesus Sananda has taught us that he was not our Savior. He did not come here to save us, and that his name was never Jesus, and that he did not die on the cross. Apparently, we have some contradictions here.
Whoops.
Well, I don't know who you're referring to, but the fact that his name was not Jesus is true. That's an English name. His name was not, we call it Jesus, but he was never called Jesus at that time, you know, when he was alive.
What are your studies showing?
What we're doing here is now we're reaching the point of nitpicking into biblical history, translations, assumptions. One immediately picks up the Bible and says, well, all right, and no offense, Leland, but let's read this now. 10 hours, we can be right through it, and we're going to really find out a lot of things. You're going to find out that you're not informed at all when you get through. Everything that is looked at must be looked at very, very carefully, according to the guidelines of God and the laws of God. And those are natural laws which are within, and you will know when you're breaking them. When you start basing every action that you do on words that have been translated by mortal man, you are going to find errors. The Christ came to your place again as the one called Emmanuel. We overlook a lot of things when we talk about the Bible. He will come bearing a new name. In Egypt, that name is Sananda. Jesus can be translated as Isa, Isu, Esau. So we get literal with our translation, and we also have a tendency to get physically literal with the expressions according to either the era in which you are experiencing or what is perceived in the mind very frequently to take on more responsibility that maybe even reaches beyond that which was yours to take. If you cannot sort that which is man's from that which is God's in instructions, you're going to be in serious trouble. On the other hand, as long as you live within the laws of God, you will be expressing at a soul level that which is pleasing to God. And as we consider where different tribes may have come from, and what you may be, what I may be, you forget something. God is all. And therefore, being all, being truth, being light, being love, being all, means that you are all simply fragments of the one. And therefore, when you start trying to fragment yourself, you're going to get into trouble. Because the only place man has to fragment into is the physical realm of the senses, which is the illusion of the play. And when you confuse the two, guess what always ends up lacking? And continues your searching and your seeking and your restlessness when you had it and passed it. You get it in your hand, now this can't be it. It's too simple. This oneness cannot be it. You are moving into the reality. And to move into the reality, you're going to have to, quote, I'm sorry, kill off the illusion. So what does that mean? It means that in the physical realm, evil exists. Does the devil exist? Why would we even bother to discuss it? If you have created it, it exists. Evil exists because evil is anything that deliberately pulls you. We'll put it in first person or second person. It is anything that deliberately pulls you away from your path unto God. Sin is error, falling short of the perfection of oneness with God. And God is all forgiving. God is all blessing. God is all abundance. And therefore he says, look at little dodo brain. Well, go ahead, little dodo. It's all right, because before you come home, you're going to have learned that that is unacceptable in the realms of the kingdom of God. You can play all those games all you want to, as long as you're prancing around down there in the physical form, but it's going to cost you. It is going to cost you return after return after return into a physical format where you learn your lessons. And you will learn them. Ones get very irritated at me because I say, I don't care. You don't have to learn it this week. Will that make your transition through the gourd of ashes any better? No, it'll be hot foot either way. And I noticed that Leland didn't give us a rapture to fall back on. It just like Noah, you know, it would have been better if everybody put on water wings at least. Maybe Noah would have felt sorry for them flopping around out there off his bow. There are going to be a lot of you ones flopping around off the bow. God will not leave you if you are within the realm of his word. There are going to be a lot of believers at that 12th hour. Will he leave you? No, he will not. He has sent his people, and whether or not you are prepared is beside the point. He went to prepare a place for you, and there is one. And he will come and get you. But you're going to ask to come aboard. Now you see, it's all up to you. But once we get on that last final call aboard, it then falls to the authority of the host. Are you worthy to come aboard? Are you just going to bring your earthly physical wretchedness with you to mess up an already orderly society of energy forms? Because that's not asked for. You can possibly be transferred to another place. Because if you are functioning within the laws of God to the best of your ability, that is going to be taken into consideration. With God, ignorance is everything in the law. Once you know and deliberately defy God and His laws, that is deliberate. That is in knowingness. You have deliberately done something against the law, and that carries a greater penalty. Now, is God going to penalize you? Well, you're going to get a hot foot. Does that mean that God has done it to you? No, thank you. You will have done it to Seth. But remember something. The biggest penalty of all that will come out of this translation, this cycle change, is that you are now dealing with energy forms that can disperse your soul. Does that mean that it cannot ever reassemble? Ever is not in God's expression except as forever. Perhaps it never will reassemble. And that which was or is you will be lost to that which you will ever experience or remember. It will never be lost to the universe. On the other hand, with nuclear energy unleashed, and especially if it's mixed up with what you call scalar, I call it life or living energy, prana energy, you can get that soul energy so dispersed that its own blueprint perhaps cannot pull it together again. So you're playing with something in this illusion of yours that is magnificent enough that it can be destructive to the very soul essence. On the other hand, look at what you've done. You have gotten rid of the soul. And this is where we would always have quarrel coming. But I can tell you from the other side of the veil that there are so many dead people walking around on your earth. They are mechanical bodies running around. Do they have emotions? Of course they have emotions. Do they have pain? Yes, they have pain. Do they have souls that will go back to God? Not as you think of it. Not as you think of Israel, God's people. So it looks like God's being pretty hard. Is He being hard, or is He allowing that which is the physical king to keep His toys, which are two-thirds of the population of the planet?
May I interject a thought? You just hit something that I want to read to you. You said about Israel, God's people, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. Amos, in your Bible, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Here's Amos, chapter 3, verse 1. This just hit me as she was talking. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt. Verse 2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. You only have I known, because you are my children. I'm not going to spank everybody else's children. I'm only going to spank you. Your Bible, Amos.
Hold the thought. Where did he say? Out of the land of Egypt. This will not mean anything to Leland. It should mean everything to everyone in this room. Where was Eton first recognized? Thank you.
Let me show you something. All of you, right now, get out a dollar bill. Get out a dollar bill. Look at it. Have you got a dollar bill? I'm sorry, I want to interrupt and show you this. Look on the back side of a dollar bill. You see that pyramid? Why? Because they came out of Egypt, like she just said. You are Israelites that came out of Egypt. How many courses or how many layers of stone are there? There are 13.
Be careful, Leland. That pyramid is a very, very bad sign. You see that eye on top? That is a sign of the Illuminati, which was formed in 1776, and that's why it's on the dollar bill. Every time that God comes forth in any form whatsoever, that term, that word, that symbol is taken, and it's taken by the adversary to present out there so that everybody thinks they're dealing with God. But yes, you're absolutely right. Israel basically is from the land of Egypt. And you're going to have to go back in your own lineage into the time of the Pharaohs and the first recognition of the one God. It doesn't go away just because you don't believe it. And you don't have to believe it. But all the signs are there. All the clues are there. And I am here again to tell you that you will not be left without when you ask God for protection. Because it doesn't matter what has happened over the generations of time and where you may think your lineage comes from because you were born in England or something. Forget it. God has his children numbered to the very last hair on your head. With EJ, that's a little easier. With Padre Cleary, it's pretty easy. But we're getting right down to where it's a little bit difficult, probably for Leland. He doesn't know enough of our material. I would hope that after he leaves here, that he would look into it.
The Lord is expanding my brain, though. I had more hair 20 years ago. As my brain expands, it's just pushing it out by the roots, and
sure
I'm getting bald.
Yeah.
That's right. It's all gone real soon.
God's pretty clever.
We'll look for that. Living proof.
I have a question for you. Just as an example, take a city like Los Angeles and say 50 miles east after a bomb would hit a city like that. Eastward, would the whole city be gone?
Palm Springs, you mean, and San Bernardino?
50, just as an example.
Okay.
50 miles, or would the fallout get them within a few days from 50 miles east?
Not
or
a few
would there
days.
Be lots of people traveling?
2 hours. Boston, 50 miles east, the blast damage will, from the explosion, will cease from a 1 megaton bomb, will cease at about 9, 10, 11 miles, depending on the terrain, the hills, or whether it's flat. So the blast damage and the fire, the destruction from the bomb will cease about, say, 10 miles. The brightness of, like if you took a magnifying glass and shined it on a piece of paper 6 feet away, you could start a fire on a piece of Kleenex with a magnifying glass 6 feet away. Fires will start from the flash of the bomb 25, 30 miles away because it is so bright. It will start fires. Not from the heat, from the brightness. 50 times brighter than the sun at midnight. It'll start fires 30 miles away. those people 30, 40, 50 miles away, they won't have any blast damage, they won't have any heat damage, you know, 40, 50 miles away. But a half an hour after the bomb, then they will begin to have radiation, and in 30 miles, the radiation levels were high enough to kill absolutely everything. Fish in your fishbowl, every human being.
50 miles?
Yeah, even 50 miles.
They won't have a chance to be traveling.
No, no. Well, they might be on the road traveling, but they'll have fallout come down in an hour, half an hour. If they're in that fallout, within a half an hour or more, they will begin to get sick, nauseated, have diarrhea, throwing up, vomiting.
Okay, now the one thing here, too, that's only saying there's only going to be one blast right in the middle of town.
Right.
You know, San Bernardino might have a blast.
Well, Los Angeles proper, just the L.A. basin, you might say, L.A. and Orange County, has 14 hits in the first wave. Those, I believe, will probably be from SLBMs, SS-20s, launched from a submarine somewhere at 700, 800, 1,000 miles out in the Pacific. It surfaces, launches the missiles, and in 6 minutes, they hit L.A.
Dylan, do you have any information on earthquakes and volcanoes and the West Coast, California?
I do know from a vision that I had many years ago that...